All right, ready to dive into something kind of different.
Oh, absolutely.
We're going to be looking at injection molding defects today and using the source material called, and this is a mouthful, boot.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to be using this as like our jumping off point for exploring all these little imperfections that we see in everyday plastic objects, like,
Right.
you know, those weird lines or bumps or like dents.
Yeah, those are fascinating, aren't they?
I know it doesn't sound super exciting.
It really does, though, when you start to think about it.
It is, once you start getting into it.
Yeah.
But like, we're going to become like, you know, plastic detectives
Exactly.
and be able to analyze like why these things happen.
And what can be done about them
Yeah.
from an engineering standpoint.
So like, imagine you're at a party, right?
Okay.
And you're holding like a, you know, a plastic cup.
Yeah.
You're like, oh my gosh, look at this flash. I
That's
know
right.
exactly why this
It's
happened.
really the life of the party.
Yeah, no, right?
Yeah, for sure.
So,
Let's start with that, actually. Flash.
yeah, let's start with flash.
A very common defect we've all seen, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's like that little extra bit of plastic that squeezes out.
Yeah, almost like when frosting spills over the edge of a cake.
Right, but not nearly as tasty.
Not nearly as tasty,
Oh.
unfortunately.
So, why does this happen?
So there are a couple reasons. It could be that there's just too much pressure during the injection process,
Okay.
forcing that plastic out of the mold cavity. Or there might be these tiny gaps in the mold itself,
Ah.
and it just allows that plastic to kind of sneak out.
And this is more than just an aesthetic issue, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Because our source mentioned like product designer, I think their name was Jackie.
Jackie, yeah.
And they were saying like they have to like factor in potential flash.
Yeah, because it can create real problems down the line.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it can add extra costs because you have to trim that excess material off. And depending on the product, it can even mess up how parts fit together.
So Jackie has to like think about all that from the get-go.
Right from the beginning, yep.
So a tiny flaw can have like a domino
Oh,
effect.
absolutely.
Wow.
It's all connected.
That's fascinating.
It is.
So are there like any ways to prevent this whole flash thing altogether?
Definitely.
Okay.
It's all about precision and control. Think of it like tuning an instrument.
Okay.
So calibrating the injection molding machine is super important. Make sure the pressure's just right,
Okay.
and then proper mold alignment
Yeah.
to get rid of those gaps.
Gets rid of those sneaky gaps.
Exactly.
Okay, so this next defect is really interesting to me. Shrinkage.
Shrinkage, yeah.
And I'm not talking about laundry mishaps here.
Definitely not, no.
This is all about how plastic shrinks as it cools, right?
Right, but it's not always uniform shrinkage.
Oh.
That's where you get those dents or warps.
Especially on like sicker parts,
Yeah,
right?
the thicker sections, exactly.
Like if you imagine a car dashboard
Okay.
and it has this like weird dent from shrinkage,
Not a good look.
not a good look at all.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, and our source used this really great analogy, baking a cake.
That's a good one.
The thicker parts cool differently
Yeah.
than the thinner edges, so
Exactly.
you get that like uneven sinking.
And it's the same principle with plastic.
Wow, so it's like baking but with plastic molecules.
Pretty much. But to really understand why it happens, we got to dive into polymers.
Okay, I'm ready. Take me there.
All right, so polymers are those long chains of molecules that make up plastic.
Okay.
Some plastics, the chains are all jumbled up. Those are called amorphous plastics.
Amorphous, okay.
But then you have crystalline plastics, and their chains are all organized and tightly packed.
Ah, so it's like a tidy versus messy room.
That's a great analogy.
Right.
Yeah, and this difference matters for shrinkage.
Okay.
Crystalline plastics, they shrink more when they cool.
Oh, so they're more prone to those dents and warps.
Yeah, because they're more tightly packed to begin with.
Makes sense.
So if you had a cake batter that was more
It
crystalline,
would shrink even more.
exactly. And all that uneven cooling creates stress.
Oh, I see.
That's what leads to those warps and sinks.
So, how do manufacturers even deal with this?
Well, there are a few things they can do.
Okay.
They could be smart about their material choices, picking the right type of plastic.
Right.
They can optimize the design to try and minimize those thick sections.
Ah, so like less cake batter in one spot.
Exactly. And finally, they can control the cooling process.
Making sure it's like slow and even.
Exactly. It's all about balance.
Okay, so it's like a three-pronged attack on shrinkage.
You got it.
Okay, so speaking of how plastic flows, this brings us to our next defect.
Okay.
Have you ever noticed those faint lines on a plastic object?
Like almost like a seam.
Yes, I thought those were intentional.
They can be, but sometimes they're not.
Oh.
Those are called weld lines.
Weld lines, okay.
And they happen when Two flows of molten plastic meet in the mold,
mm-hmm.
but they don't fully fuse together.
So it's not like a perfect blend.
Not always, no.
I see.
And our source was talking about how even small changes to the mold design
yeah.
can affect these weld lines.
It's really sensitive.
It's a delicate dance, yeah.
Wow.
You have to adjust things like the injection speed, the temperature, even the entry point.
To get it just right.
Exactly.
And these weld lines can be weak spots, right?
Oh, absolutely.
It's a weak link in a chain.
Exactly. They can compromise the strength of the whole thing.
Okay, I'm starting to feel like a plastic detective now.
I told you.
We've covered flash, shrinkage, weld lines.
It's fascinating, isn't it?
What other molding mysteries are waiting for us?
Oh, we've got plenty more to uncover. Stay tuned.
Okay, can't wait.
Right.
So we've been talking about flash, shrinkage, weld lines. It's like we're learning a secret language, the language of plastic.
Exactly. And each defect, it's like a clue, telling us what happened during the molding process. Mm-hmm.
Speaking of clues, let's talk about silver streaks.
Ah, yes.
I'm picturing those streaks you sometimes see in, like, clear plastic packaging or display cases.
Yeah, they're definitely noticeable. And not really in a good way.
Not a good look.
It's kind of like if you opened a brand new pair of shoes, you know, and they were all moldy.
Ooh, yeah.
Gives off that same kind of vibe, you know, like something's not quite right.
So our source mentions it's caused by trapped moisture or gases. But doesn't go into too much detail.
Right. So basically, think of it this way. As the plastic heats up and gets injected into the mold, any moisture that's trapped inside, it turns into vapor.
So those tiny water droplets, they become like gas bubbles.
Exactly. And because the plastic's still molten, those bubbles get trapped.
And leave those streaks behind as it cools.
Exactly. It's kind of like when you see those air bubbles trapped in ice cubes.
Oh, yeah. Same idea.
But with plastic, obviously. Mm-hmm. And at much higher temperatures.
Makes sense. So how do manufacturers prevent this? Is it all about, like, drying the plastic pellets before molding?
Thorough drying is definitely important, yeah. It's like you said, spa treatment.
Mm.
You want those pellets nice and clean.
But I'm guessing there's more to it.
Yeah. Mold design plays a big role, too.
Okay.
You need vents in the mold, mm-hmm. you know, to let those gases escape. Otherwise, they get trapped and, well, you know the rest.
So it's like giving those gases an escape route.
Exactly. And, of course, temperature control throughout the whole process is key.
Okay, so minimizing those gases and giving them a way out if they do form. Got it.
Okay, now, switching gears a bit, let's talk about flow marks.
Flow marks, all right.
Have you ever seen, like, those wavy or streaky patterns on a plastic surface?
Yeah, I always thought that was just, like, part of the texture, like brush strokes on a painting.
Yeah, that's a good way to visualize it. But in injection molding, those brush strokes, well, they're usually not intentional.
Oh.
It's all about how smoothly the molten plastic flows through the mold. If it doesn't flow evenly, you get those marks.
So if the mold's the canvas, then flow marks are a sign of a shaky hand.
Exactly. And just like an artist aims for smooth, consistent strokes, injection molding, it's all about that uniform flow. You know, for that perfect finish.
And our source mentions flow marks, but really stresses the importance of good material and process control. What do they mean by that?
Well, good material quality is key.
Yeah.
You want to use high quality plastic, something with consistent properties. That way it melts and flows evenly.
Okay. So it's like using good paint versus, I don't know, some cheap stuff that's all lumpy and weird.
Yeah, exactly. The quality of the paint directly affects how your final product's going to look.
And what about process control?
Process control, that's where precision comes in.
Right.
Controlling the injection speed, the pressure, all that. You don't want any sudden changes in flow direction.
Because that can lead to those marks.
Exactly. It's like you're guiding that molten plastic nice and smooth through the mold.
So preventing flow marks is like maintaining harmony in the process.
Yeah, you could say that.
All right. Well, speaking of harmony, let's talk about sink marks.
Sink marks, all right.
Those little depressions, those dimples on the surface, usually near thicker parts.
Yeah, like little craters on an otherwise smooth landscape.
What causes those?
Well, remember how we talked about shrinkage and how those thicker sections, they cool slower.
Yeah, and how that uneven cooling can lead to warping and all that stress.
Right, so sink marks, it's a similar thing. As those thicker parts cool and contract, they can pull the surface inward.
So it's like the plastic's trying to shrink back into itself.
You got it.
Yeah.
It's a battle between the cooling and the contraction.
And that leaves its mark on the surface.
Exactly.
Our source didn't specifically talk about sink marks, but it sounds like uneven cooling's a big factor here, too.
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of the solutions for preventing sink marks, they're the same as for shrinkage.
Right.
Optimizing that mold design, using materials that don't shrink as much, controlling the cooling process carefully, it all helps.
So it's about minimizing that tug of war, you know, between cooling and contraction.
Exactly. You want that transition from molten to solid to be nice and smooth.
Like a delicate negotiation.
Yeah, I like that. A delicate negotiation.
So now let's talk about a defect that's a little more hidden. Voids?
Voids. Ah, yes.
Those are like the empty spaces, the air pockets trapped inside the part.
Yeah, they're like little secrets hiding within the plastic.
What causes those?
Well, finding out why they form, it can be a bit of a detective story.
Okay.
Voids, they can be caused by a few different things. Trapped gases, not enough packing pressure, or even the viscosity of the plastic itself.
So each void is like a little clue.
Exactly. And our source, they talk about drying those plastic pellets to prevent gas formation.
Right.
But there's more to it than that. Making sure there's enough packing pressure is super important, too.
Packing pressure, okay.
You got to make sure that molten plastic really fills every corner of the mold.
No empty spaces.
Right, no room for those voids to form.
Makes sense.
And then you have the viscosity of the plastic itself. If it's too thick, too viscous, it might not flow into all those little nooks and crannies in the mold.
And that can lead to gaps and voids.
Exactly. So preventing voids, it's all about understanding those material properties and how they play with the molding parameters. It's about getting the right balance of flow, pressure, and material behavior.
So kind of like achieving harmony, but this time inside the part.
Exactly.
Okay, well, let's shift our focus then to a defect that can affect the whole structure of a product. Warping.
Warping, yeah, that could be a tricky one.
So those are those unwanted bends or twists, you know, that can deform a part.
It's like the plastic decided to do its own thing.
Gone rogue.
Yeah, exactly. And to fix that, well, you got to understand a few things. Uneven cooling, stress inside the material, even the shape of the part itself, they can all play a role.
So it's like the plastic's trying to relieve tension, find a more comfortable shape as it cools down.
Yeah, that's a good way to think about it.
And our source didn't specifically talk about warping, but it seems like what we've learned about shrinkage and uneven cooling, that applies here too.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Optimizing the mold design, you know, so there aren't any sharp corners or thick sections that cool unevenly. Choosing materials with lower shrinkage rates.
Yeah.
And controlling that cooling process carefully, they all make a big difference.
So it's all connected.
It really is. It's fascinating how these different defects, they often have the same root causes and solutions.
It's like a big web, you know, and we're just starting to untangle it.
Exactly. And as we learn more about each defect, we get a better understanding of the whole injection molding process.
We're becoming fluent in the language of plastic.
That's a great way to put it.
Well, I'm ready to learn even more. What other secrets are we going to uncover in the final part of our deep dive?
Oh, we've got a few more tricks up our sleeve. Stay tuned.
Okay, so we've talked about flash, shrinkage, weld lines, silver streaks, even those hidden voids. It's like we're peeling back the layers of a plastic onion, you know?
And each layer reveals something new about the process.
Exactly. And so far, we've focused a lot on how these defects can affect, like, the strength of a product, right? But what about the way it looks?
Aesthetics are important, too. You're right.
Because something might work perfectly fine, but if it looks bad, people aren't going to buy it.
Absolutely. First impressions matter.
So let's talk about some surface defects that can make a product look less than perfect.
Okay. Sounds good.
Have you ever, like, picked up a plastic thing and it just felt, I don't know, kind of rough?
Well, like it had a grainy texture.
Yeah, like it didn't have that smooth, polished finish you'd expect.
That could be a sign of something called orange peel or splay marks.
Orange peel and splay marks, those sound kind of, I don't know, delicious.
I know, right? But they're actually pretty descriptive.
Okay, so what is orange peel?
Well, it's basically a bumpy texture that looks kind of like, you guessed it, the skin of an orange.
So it's not smooth?
Not perfectly smooth, no.
Okay, and what causes that?
Usually has to do with the cooling process. If the plastic cools down too quickly before it can flow and level out. It
gets kind of stuck like that.
Exactly. Those imperfections get frozen in place.
Interesting.
And then splay marks, those are a bit different.
Okay, tell me more.
They're also caused by uneven flow, but instead of bumps, you get these streaks or lines.
Okay.
And they usually radiate out from the gate, you know, where the plastic enters the mold.
So it's like the plastic leaves a trail behind.
Yeah, kind of.
And both of these, even though they're just on the surface, they can make a product look kind of cheap.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Especially if it's something that's supposed to be smooth and sleek, like a phone case or something.
Okay, so we've covered a lot of ground here, but is there anything else about injection molding defects that we haven't talked about yet?
Well, there's one more I wanted to mention. It's called jetting.
Jetting, like tiny plastic jets.
Not quite.
Okay.
It happens when the molten plastic, it enters the mold too quickly.
Okay.
And it doesn't spread out properly before it starts to cool down.
Oh. So it's like it's in a hurry to fill the mold and forgets to distribute itself evenly.
Yeah, you could say that.
Okay.
And what you end up with are these like worm-like patterns inside the plastic.
Okay.
Usually near the gate.
And I'm guessing that can weaken the product.
Oh, absolutely. It can create weak points that make it more likely to break.
So preventing jetting is all about controlling the flow.
Exactly. You want the plastic to have enough time to spread out before it solidifies.
Okay, so again, it comes back to control, making sure everything's balanced.
Yeah, pretty much.
Wow. It's amazing how these tiny imperfections, they tell us so much about what happened during the molding process.
It really is. It's like a whole hidden world.
And thanks to this deep dive, I feel like I'm starting to understand it a bit better.
Me too. It's been a fascinating journey.
So next time I'm holding a plastic object, I'm going to look at it with new eyes.
Yeah, you'll start to notice things you never saw before.
Like a plastic detective.
Exactly.
Well, this has been awesome. Thanks for taking us on this deep dive into the world of injection molding defects.
My pleasure. I'm always happy to talk about plastic.
And to our listeners, thanks for joining us on this adventure.
Keep those minds curious.
We'll see you next time.